Welcome back, folks. Get a grip on lighting. On today's show, we're talking with Cliff Yankee, who's telling us a little bit about light bulbs, light fixtures that disinfect hospital rooms and surgical rooms and other things like that. Can you imagine that? Not only is it a general lighting solution for the space, but it also continuously disinfects the space in real time. We couldn't believe it till we had him on the show. So listen to this one with Cliff Yankee from Indigo Clean. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by Keystone Technologies. Go to KeystoneTech.com, baby. KeystoneTech.com. Light made easy, Greg.
Yeah, and you can see it right from their homepage. They have, we talk a lot about their products, but the first picture that shows up on their homepage is one of their policies. And that's something we don't talk about a lot, but they have a sample policy. And by far the best one that I've seen in the industry. They actually give you any product you request at no cost, so that you can show it. A lot of times you need to show what you're selling, or at least the new people to lighting need to show it.
Come on, and, you stole my line there, buddy.
We did that, yep. But yeah, so they definitely can show that sample, and Keystone does a great job of providing that for them. So another good service that they offer in addition to all of their products.
Keystone helps out your new sales reps by giving them free samples with to sell their deals. But us old guys, we don't need those samples. We just closed the deal. So you go to KeystoneTech.com. That's KeystoneTech.com. KeystoneTech.com. Light made easy for sure. They help you out in every way they can. It's one of the best distributor, manufacturer to distributor relationships out there, Greg, I would say.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
You use them a lot.
Yep. Also, this episode of the show and every other show on the GetAGripOnLighting.com website is brought to you by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Go to NAILD.org. That's NAILD.org. Get yourself some training, education. Join us. Hey, man, join us. Or you can come to the convention. Go to NAILD.org. That's NAILD.org. But for now, we're going to hear a little bit about some pretty functional lights, cleaning and lighting up the room on episode 40 of Get a Grip on Lighting. Welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, Cliff Yankee.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to finally get a chance to get live here and get all our technical issues resolved.
Say hi to Greg Eric.
Greg, good morning. How are you, sir, up in Minneapolis?
Good, Cliff. Good to see you again. Now we're ready.
How is it that you're a Cubs fan with the last name Yankee?
Yeah, right. I tell you, my sports history comes from my grandfather in the late 60s, believe it or not. He hated all the Chicago teams because the Cubs traded Lou Brock, and he hated the Bears because they did something. So he ended up wanting me to like both the St. Louis Cardinals for baseball and the Green Bay Packers. So being a five-year-old kid, I made the completely rational decision to like blue, which is my favorite color. So I'm a Cubs fan, dooming myself to, 50 years of futility right until 2016. And then I'm still a Packers fan to this day, which obviously, Greg, being up in Minneapolis, there's a great rivalry there. So
that's unfortunate.
You can't just pick whoever you want. That's not fair.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like I said, when you're 5 years old, you make completely rational decisions based on what your grandfather tells you to do and your favorite color.
Well, at least you're loyal, Cliff.
Oh, yeah, loyal, I'd say, more like a crash test dummy, but that that ability to just, suffer needlessly is actually what has propelled me through this whole ordeal with visible light disinfection. So
yeah, there you go. That's a good segue. So tell us a little bit about the technology you guys have developed that uses general lighting systems to as a disinfecting agent in hospitals and other types of applications. Tell us how that works.
Sure. So it's visible light, and I think that's one of the things that people frequently confuse about the light compared to UV light. It's a visible light that kills bacteria. And this is something that actually started as a young girl's PhD thesis at the University of Strathclyde in Glasgow, Scotland, back in the early part of 2000s. Now, to be sure, people had known that sunlight was a disinfectant going all the way back to 1863 when Florence Nightingale realized that wounded soldiers could be healed by placing them in sunlight. But this group in Scotland, in the process of researching various types of UV disinfection in hospital, came across the subject of visible light disinfection and really thought about it as an environmental decontamination device. And so they filed their first patents in 2008, and we started commercializing with them in 2013. So the technology itself is very simply a blue light, specifically 405 nanometers, and that light is absorbed by bacteria, creating a chemical reaction within them that's equivalent to pouring bleach on them. And that bleach reaction oxidizes the organism, again, just like bleach, and it creates a toxic, hostile environment for bacteria.
Hmm.
So does the light actually, when you look at it and process, is it blue? Like when I visibly see
it's
blue?
It's a very deep blue. Yeah, what's interesting is we have two flavors of the light. So one is a white light with some of this antimicrobial blue mixed in it, so it looks like a crisp white light. And that's very commonly used in a lot of healthcare spaces, as you know already. And then when people are not in the room, we have what we call an indigo or blue only mode. And that gives you pure disinfecting light. It's safe for people, but if no one's going to be in there, why energize the white light? Just increase the amount of power to the blue light to get increased disinfection. And so when that color goes on, some of the nurses in the hospital call that disco mode.
Disco mode.
How quickly does it work if you have to go blue light to make it clean?
Sure. So when it's white light, it's cleaning, just not as powerfully as when it's all blue. The idea is, and this is what LEDs and lighting enable, is the fact you can mix the blue into the white so that candidly it looks like a normal overhead light. And then it's disinfecting. And just to kind of put it in framework, you know, UV light typically disinfects on a scale of minutes. This disinfects on a scale of hours. So what it's doing is disinfecting over the course of the day while you're using the room. But then in the evening when no one's there, you give it this burst of light. In hospitals, they call that terminal cleaning. That means the room is being cleaned at the end of the day.
Repeat that again. Terminal?
That's called terminal cleaning. Yes,
terminal cleaning.
Like a terminal block, right? Okay. T-E-R-M-I-N-A-L, terminal cleaning. And it's just the cleaning they do when the room is ended its use for the day. So they give it a very deep cleaning where not only do they come in and wipe down a few surfaces, but they're actually going to get into every nook and cranny. They'll use bleach. They'll use all the very toxic chemicals that they have to use. In some cases, they might even bring in a UV device to really get the room to the cleanest possible point for the next day. And that's something they can do with their regular processes. But now these new technologies, which are called whole room disinfection technologies, are being used as an adjunct to that. And the first type of whole room disinfection technologies were small portable UV devices. They look like R2-D2, you wheel them in the room, the head pops up, everybody gets out, and then it sprays UV light around the room for minutes or an hour or something.
And that's the kind of UV light that you can't look at, like in a water treatment device.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And it works on a different biological process as well. The simplest way to explain UV light is it's like a bullet. It breaks apart the DNA, and that prevents it from recombining. The visible light is more like a targeted mechanism. It targets a specific group of molecules within the bacteria, and it absorbs the blue light and then creates this chemical reaction. So it's more subtle, and that's one of the reasons why people can be in the room while the light's being used.
Go ahead, Greg. Yeah, you go ahead. You're rolling.
So the two options then that people use right now, you can use visible light or UV light. Are there other options to disinfect a space? I assume there are.
Oh, sure. There's, of course, the good old-fashioned elbow grease. But in addition to whole room disinfection technologies, there's some that are based around chemical vapors or fogging. They're hydrogen peroxide, which is, of course, a great disinfectant, really a first-class disinfectant. The challenge, of course, is that they have to shut down the room, block out the air vents, because this is toxic to people until it decays into water. So they have somebody coming in the room wearing a Ghostbuster suit, and they'll fog the room up with a bug fogger, right? And they've got a backpack on their back, and they're spraying something in the air. And, of course, it's very toxic. It gets into a lot of great places, kills everything, all microorganisms, bacteria, viruses, again, great technology. But the issue is you have to block out the room, and this is a several-hour procedure. So they would use that only after someone may have had Ebola or tuberculosis or some very highly contagious disease.
So, but you're saying these lights are part of a disinfecting. I don't know if cleaning is the right word. Is it? It's more like it's part of a disinfecting strategy. Is that a better way to describe
it? Yeah, that's right, and that's a great distinction to draw. Cleaning is really the act of physically wiping things off of a surface.
Right.
And that's just, junk and gunk and whatever. And then disinfecting is killing microorganisms, bacteria, viruses, whatever flavor you like there. And that's really the subtle difference.
So the purpose of this is part of a larger strategy that a healthcare or hospital or some sort of place that needs this level of disinfection to implement as part of that strategy. But tell me, are these lights used during medical procedures?
Yeah, actually, that's really one of the unique.
So, like, there's like this disinfectant thing. What I'm saying is, there's like this empty room disinfectant purpose, mm-hmm. and then is there an ongoing purpose while the room is occupied by people for surgery or for whatever that then it's ongoing disinfection going on?
That's exactly right, and that's one of the benefits of the visible light technology, because it's integrated in what you have with your existing lighting. You can disinfect the room while people are in there. And that's a very important point that maybe a lot of folks don't realize. Let's use the case of an operating room in surgery. One of the largest sources of bacteria in the room is the people performing the procedure. Hmm. We're shedding bacteria into the environment consistently. Just, you know, whenever I give these talks, I have a picture of Pigpen from the Peanuts little cartoon, right? And that's kind of what's happening. People are shedding bacteria to the environment. And of course, this is why people in an operating room wear bouffants on their head. They wear beard covers. They wear covers over their arms. Everything that they can have, they wear so that they prevent stuff from getting into the air. And this stuff can float in the air for hours, land on a surface, that's called precipitation, and then be remobilized into the air by someone who comes into the room.
So there's bacterial precipitation?
Correct. Yes, this bacteria floats in the air.
It's raining men and bacteria, yes, and everything else.
That,
eh? Holy
that is a true statement, right? And I learned that word from some of my friends who are biologists. I felt pretty impressed, right? The idea of bacterial precipitation. So, but yeah, this is a real fact. And there's actually studies now that show that bacteria that's on people gets into the air and gets on surfaces and then ends up in the wounds of patients.
Wow.
And that actually causes infections. In fact, the study that we just recently performed at a major regional hospital shows that Staphylococcus aureus, or staph organisms, which is one of the most common infectious diseases, actually was predominantly in the wounds for these orthopedic joint replacements. Hmm. And so when people are going in to have a knee or hip replacement, these are large open wounds, these are large procedures, and the consequence of an infection is very serious. If that organism gets down into the implant, then they have to do something called an explant, which I didn't know about, but what that meant, but my friends or physicians explained it to me. It's called a do-over. It's a very high-tech word for a do-over, where they have to open you up again, take out the implant, stitch you up, feed you antibiotics for at least 30 days, and then bring you back in and do the procedure again. Now, you can imagine the horror of that for a patient, let alone all the additional costs. These are multi-six-figure settlements for the individual. And the amount of joint replacements that we as a society are getting is just surprisingly.
It's accelerating.
Large.
That's accelerating like crazy. The baby boomers are hitting that age now, and the technology is ripe. You have people in their 40s and 50s getting knee replacements, getting hip replacements.
Yeah, right. We're all living longer, and we don't eat right, and we don't exercise right. So, you know, you're carrying an extra 20 pounds, which eventually affects your musculoskeletal structure.
So you're a company. And on this show, we've had a lot of discussions about the health effects of lighting and different types of, lighting being now a functional part of the environment. So what you're saying is, okay, yeah, not only can you see here, but the light is contributing to your disinfecting strategy. Not only are you seeing here, but the light is mimicking your circadian rhythm or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So do you guys have any like double-blind studies by not from your corporation that are proving that this technology delivers a 10% or a 20% or some sort of percentage of increase in disinfection?
That's right. So we do have a study that's actually going to be submitted for referee and peer review within the next couple of months. This is the first one done of this type in the world. And so whenever a study is conducted with our product, we do something that we call arm's length transaction. So we would provide the equipment, but then we step back and let the institution perform the study themselves as an independent investigator. And
that's the only way to do it. That's the only way.
It is. You have to. That's the medical device side of it. In fact, that's my background. I come from a medical device world where this is the only way you can get true objective evidence. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're all impacted by the healthcare system. So while there may be a short-term incremental benefit from, putting your finger on the scale, long term, you know, I always ask myself, if this was my wife or daughter in the room, what would I do? And it's a very easy question to answer, and it's a very easy way to guide your principles. So that's the part that we've done the most work on.
So can you tell us the name of the institution that's conducting that study?
Sure can.
Like John Hopkins University or something like that?
Yeah, we're getting close to getting those guys. Not there yet. We'd love to work with those guys. This is Maury Regional Medical Center. This is one of the biggest regional hospitals in North America. It's in south of Nashville. And they do a lot of orthopedic surgeries there. But we have additional folks that we've worked with. You may have heard of Geisinger Medical Center in Danville, Pennsylvania. Big group there. We've got another probably half a dozen or so places that have installed the lights and done studies. And we've got over 500,000 hours of use of the product now in the field, showing reductions in now infections, but in addition to the bacterial reduction. So this was really exciting work. We just released it in March at the Association of Operating Room Nurses, showing that in a one-year controlled study, that after a year of using the lights, they had reduced their surgical site infections by 75%.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a number.
And then it gets, that's right. And then it gets even better. You know, this is the part about the way this light disinfects that throws people for a loop. Because historically, disinfection was episodic. That is, I come in, squirt bleach, I wipe the surface down, and the bacteria are dead, and then I leave, and I'm no longer disinfecting until I come in the next day or after the next case. But the fact that this is continually disinfecting, and not only disinfecting surfaces, but also the air, you get this connective airflow between rooms. And what we saw in this study was that two adjacent operating rooms, one with the technology and one without, both experienced similar levels of surgical site infection reduction. And we thought, wow, how is this happening? Because there's no physical mechanism by way the light is getting from one room to the next. So this goes back to the real science and study of this. And it was funny because I was actually at the airport in Nashville when all of the, looking at all the data when this hit me. And I remember something my graduate school advisor told me, which was, you know, Cliff, just because we don't understand how it works doesn't mean it's not working right. So that's where you kind of get into this and try to understand what's really going on. And we looked at these two rooms. These rooms were essentially connected by process, procedure, and airflow. Hmm. So people would set up a procedure in one room, and they would go to the next room and do some work, and then they would come back to this room, alternating back and forth between the rooms. And they would also move equipment between the rooms. So the idea of cross-contamination started to come into my mind. So then I'm there with the facility manager. We've got the blueprints up and we're looking at the air handling systems. And the air handling systems for those rooms are directly on the same airflow. So the path of airflow, if you're reducing bacteria in the air in one room, of course there would be less bacteria in the air in the next room. Makes complete sense. So we said, okay, well, hold that thought. That's a hypothesis at this point. We looked across the hall at another room where they do spine procedures. These are very lengthy procedures where they typically set up the room and they run the whole day there. These are, you know, 7-8 hour procedures, maybe even longer. And the equipment for spine is very unique and allocated just to that room. So in effect, it was a separate control room. And it turns out it was on a different branch of the air handler. And the infections in that room didn't change at all. We didn't have lights there. Mm. Everything stayed as normal. So it was the perfect control for all of this. So, you know, now you can imagine why we're so excited to start publishing this result. It takes a while to get to it because we had been talking with them since 2015, and we got the lights installed in 2016, and then it took 2 years to get all the data.
Wow.
But now you can see it's real and people are responding to it. I mean, we have multiple hospitals that have just said, we're doing all of our operating rooms with this, period.
So at the expense of sounding crass, you use the number 75% less infections. So, you know, at the risk, there has to be a business case here.
Oh, yeah.
Right. For hospitals. I mean, I don't, I know the United States is a very litigious country. And
I have a slide on that in my talk.
And so there has to be a business case here where you sit down with the hospital and say, look, you guys have spent X millions of dollars on legal fees and settlements. And with this technology, you're probably going to reduce that by, can you give them a number?
Yeah, sure. So that's a great question. And you're right. It is, the harsh side of the entire healthcare industry, which is the business case of it, because you have a finite amount of resources. You can't just buy every new gadget that comes out. So you have to understand, what does this do to your overall costs and quality of care? And so a typical surgical site infection costs in the US about $25,000 in excess cost to the hospitals. Now, if you start talking about joint replacements, these get up into the multi six figures, you know, $200,000-$300,000 a shot very quickly. So obviously a much larger issue. So the even at $25,000 for a single infection with LED lighting, because it lasts 10 years, if you pay, prevent one infection, the lights pay for themselves. It's that simple. And that's the business case. We tell folks, put the lights in the room. If you prevent one infection, you've paid for the lights for the next 10 years.
And so why do you feel with it? Yeah. So why do you feel this technology is more effective than anything that's been out there in previously?
Well, the way I say it to folks is all forms of disinfection are good because they're killing bacteria. The wrinkle is that every form of disinfection is optimized for a particular set of conditions or application. So, for example, if you're looking at a patient room where patients are sitting for several months at a time, or several weeks, excuse me, at a time, or several days, this technology has some limited impact because the patient wants to rest. So they turn off the lights. Well, if you turn off the lights, you're not getting any disinfection. So we don't recommend this technology for necessarily the patient room proper as a primary disinfection method or environmental disinfection method. But in the operating room, because of what I call four key factors, one is it's medically relevant, meaning surgical site infections are concerned. They're financially expensive for the hospital, and it's a grave concern for their patient base. And two, the technology can be effective in that area because there's lots of light in an operating room. You know, since we're lighting geeks, I can share some of the details, like, you know, a typical operating room is lit to 200 to 300 foot candles in the same
sure.
room.
Yeah.
Now, when I say that to infection prevention, that's right.
That's a lot of light.
200 foot candles is a lot of light, right?
That's a lot of light.
That's an IES recommendation. So okay. then, you know, it turns out that most of these operating rooms are used roughly about 12 hours a day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So you get another 12 hours of this indigo only mode where you can really dose the heck out of the room. So when they start the next day, it's a much cleaner room. So you start from a cleaner point the next day and you disinfect throughout the day. It's really a killer technology for the operating room. But where it really shines with people in the operating room is, and you may or may not know this, but operating rooms are chaos. These people are constantly trying to adjust schedules based on whether a case takes too long or a case gets finished early. If the patient had to cancel, the physician is running late. There's all these scheduling conflicts that are going on outside of just providing good quality of care. So lost in that shuffle can be the ability to manually do a lot of things like this, push these UV devices around or use some even candidly basic cleaning methods because these rooms are very complex. There's a lot of surfaces in them. There are different types of surfaces which require different disinfectants. So the technology, in this case, the visible light, actually operates without any user intervention.
It's I think a lot of people don't understand how a surgical room works. I actually, unfortunately, have some experience, not like just as a as being related to a patient. I knew someone who was close to me had a left lobectomy. So at a very young age, had their left lung removed, and I went to the surgeon, and I talked to him, and I said, you know, what's the best time to do surgery? He's like, do the first one of the day, so 6 a.m. So like, do the first one. Be the first one in. So we booked that 6 a.m. And then I said, you know, after the surgery, I said, how many you going to do today? I got 6 to 8 of these a day today.
There you go. Right. There you go.
He's going to take out 6 lungs or half lungs.
Yeah.
In one day.
It's a scary thought, right? Because for each of us, you can have this, you know, this is a traumatic experience, right? It's sure. a one shot deal. It's a big deal. For these folks, it's an assembly line. And yes. you think of all the knees and hips and spines that are being done. Now, make these people turn around the room in 15 minutes. You're required to finish a case, get everybody out, get all the equipment out, and come in and clean that room in 15 minutes and have it ready for the next case. And I can tell you firsthand, I've been in some of these rooms after the procedure's done, and they're not going to have another procedure for a few hours. We're doing some sampling and work there, some study. But these rooms look like war zones. There's blood and gauze and everywhere and stuff without being too graphic. And sure. it is exactly what you would expect. And it takes a while to clean these rooms. You have to be cleaned by people. And that means you can forget to do something because you're a human being and you're being pushed and pressed to get something done. Or, you know, there are people who candidly want to cut corners and just say, well, I'm done with it. Oh, well, it doesn't matter if I clean that surface there because no one's going to touch the back table or something. But I can tell you, I've been in enough of these operating rooms and sampled enough surfaces in operating rooms. I can tell you where all the bacteria is at. It's the same in every operating room because they're all used the same way. And you have human beings cleaning it. So this provides a second line of defense or a safety net to help disinfect the space, and it doesn't require people to use, which is a big element for the budget of the budgeting process for operators.
This is, you know, Greg, this is the, you know, we talked about in the past how the lighting business, what is it, the 3-30-300 rule? So 3 is like maintenance, 30 is real estate, and 300 is people, the cost per square foot, right?
There you go.
So light, this is the first, everyone's like, well, lighting's going to the 300. This is actually the first example where I've heard on this show where it actually is in the 300, Greg.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's something that you can definitely define and has a health benefit. This is really healthy lighting here, you know, to sum that up.
Well, we have little memes on the show here, Cliff.
Okay.
One of them is promises, promises about the warranties. Another one is the Matrix. This one is first do no harm. When people are talking about the health effects of lighting, we started saying, hey, first do no harm. Don't worry about making things healthier. And this is the first do no harm thing. Let's get rid of the bacteria. So,
well, you know, that's a fundamental choice here is something what I call the interaction of the light with the organism and the ability to create a response, a biological response in the organism. And that's done, the light is a dose. The light is just like a medicine. You know, if you look at a prescription and it says MG in the bottom corner, that's dose. And the challenge that we have with medicine is we typically don't know how much dose it takes to create a proper response because, well, we're human beings, we're all different. So the visible light, circadian rhythm lighting, which I actually believe in, one of the challenges is for everyone is each person responds to blue light differently. And if you put a blue light in the ceiling, how much dose are you actually getting? Because that, of course, is influenced by the way you look at the light and how much light is there and all these variables. So with bacteria, it's a little simpler, because we know we're trying to give a lot of dose, and candidly, if we give too much dose, oh well, right? You know, this is not a question of do no harm. This is a case of do more harm.
Sure, yes.
So we just have to know how much dose you get in there, and that's really where our investment in R&D has been. You know, somebody made a comment to me one time, kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek, said, so what you guys sell is purple light bulbs. And I said, well, how many purple light bulbs does it take to prevent an infection? And that's when they stopped and had to really have a moment of thought. And they said, that's what we've spent all our you know, candidly the 5 years of my time at the company doing, which is understanding how you put the light in the room, how much light is required to put in the room, and then what that creates in terms of bacterial reduction and now reductions in infections.
Now, does the light actually need to hit the surface to make it clean? Like, I assume in operating rooms you have, I know you have tables and shelves and whatever you might have. But underneath that, it might be dark. Does the light actually need to spill into there to clean that area?
Yeah, so that is certainly beneficial. But this gets back to the difference in the way this technology works compared to regular light. So as lighting people, we know how to predict the amount of light on a point in space with 1/r², right? And all the normal geometries that we do when we light a room. But the way I explain it to folks is 1/r² describes the amount of light to a point in space, but it doesn't describe the dose to a pathogen. And that's because that bacteria doesn't just sit there the whole time. That bacteria can get in the air and get mobilized as we talk about being precipitated and moved around the room. In fact, the studies that we've done, we actually sampled the top of the computer underneath the table in the back, and we looked at it, there was some bacteria. And then we looked at it again, there was no bacteria. Yet there's no 1/r² lighting rule that shows you how much light you're getting there. Well, that's because the bacteria are killed in other spots in the room and don't find their way down to that spot to rest. So it's this ability to kill bacteria throughout the room. And then, by the way, visible light does reflect off of surfaces, as we all know. So you can get underneath a table, you can get in a back corner where UV light would be a little more challenged.
Now, how do you guys have a definable percentage? You say it kills 99.9% of bacteria or 100% or anything like that?
Yeah, so we do. And that's actually the challenge of making the claim for this product, because I could cheat and put a light fixture in the ceiling and then put a petri dish underneath it and say, you know, if I turn on the light and after 2 hours or 6 hours of some amount of light, I call them the hero experiments, you know, you'd say, okay, I've killed 99.9% of the bacteria. So what we say is something very different. We say run the lights for 24 hours using kind of our normal usage pattern, which for an operating room is 12 hours of use and 12 hours of non-use. And after a day, you'll see greater than a 70% reduction in bacteria. And that's what we're seeing. In fact, we're beating that in clinical studies right now. And so that's where...
what was that reduction? Greater
than 70%. And our studies right now are showing upwards of 85 to 88%. So we want to err on the soft sides.
But is that as part? Yeah. Is that as a part of the disinfecting strategy, or is that just leave the operating room open, turn the lights on for 24 hours, and come back and test? Or is that
Yeah, you got to do all your normal cleaning. So we never want to tell somebody not to do this. This gets rid of an additional 70 to 80% of the bacteria in the room.
Okay.
And that's the part that's different. Also, when I explain it to folks, it's 70 to 80% across the whole day. Whereas when you disinfect, say, with bleach, you'll get this, they call it a log kill, a logarithm being a power of 10. They'll say log 3, log 4, whatever, log 5. And you get it at that moment in time. Come back in an hour, sample that surface again.
Sure.
You're going to find bacteria there, right? So, you know, what's the average bacterial reduction over that time frame? This is on par with that. It's kind of like the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah.
Nice. Are there other applications? I know we keep talking about operating rooms, but where else might this technology be
implemented? I mean, hang on here. I think operating rooms have the best payback, right?
Yeah. Well, sure. Make the most sense.
For sure.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Where else do you use these?
Yeah. So it really, beyond the operating room, we actually came back and looked at the patient bathroom, not the patient room proper where the patient's resting, but the bathroom. And this is where understanding the clinical use of the technology and how you can integrate it into the light fixture and then understanding how that room is used. So, for example, the bathroom, unless it's somebody's library, it's probably used for about an hour a day, right? So you're in there, you do your business, you leave. But a lot of the pathogens that are in the patient room are related to gastrointestinal illnesses. So you go into the bathroom, you do your business, you leave something behind, it doesn't get cleaned. Well, this light is there to pick it up. And it's a downlight, 6-inch downlight. You put one over the toilet and one near the entrance of the bathroom. And that room will be, you know, again, meet our claim of killing, in this case, one of the most resistant organisms is called Clostridium difficile, or C. diff. And it's in what's called an endospore state. So an endospore state is different than a vegetative bacteria. Vegetative bacteria is live and respirating and breathing, kind of like your grass growing in your yard. Endospore state is like a seed. It forms a self-defense mechanism to preserve its moisture because it knows it's in a hostile environment. So it can sit there and wait for months or a year before it gets passed into a human being. When it gets inside your stomach, it wakes up and it causes this infection. So when you look at the different types of organisms that are being tracked, Clostridium is one specific organism being tracked because it can be a very contagious disease. So being able to disinfect in the bathroom with this downlight, which is really, you know, very relatively inexpensive, is a killer application for us. And then another application where there's a lot of interest is in emergency departments and pharmacies. The emergency department, because the room is in constantly being used, so you can't shut these areas down and run a UV device or some other type of improved disinfection through there. And people are colonized with God only knows what when they come in off the street. So that's the ED. And then pharmacies inside the hospital where they actually compound chemicals and they prepare the IV or whatever other chemicals, drugs they may be giving you. These already have very stringent clean room standards. And there's a new clean room standard that's just been passed called USP 797, I believe, which is an even higher level of room cleanliness. And this is another way to help those folks meet that standard.
What about a manufacturing plant or a medical device component manufacturer that has a clean room or a laboratory? Would this make sense?
Killer application. Yeah, killer application again. Anything that you have a sterile manufacturing environment is great. Now, interestingly enough, food processing is a very interesting application. A lot of folks ask us about that. And I've actually had the chance to walk through some of these food processing plants. Don't know if you ever had, but
Tons.
Two sides. Tons. Yeah, right.
Come on, Cliff. Cliff.
There's one side, which is the part where they bring in the fluffy bird, right? And then there's the other side, which goes the delicious turkey bacon or whatever, right?
Sure.
And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on there. And they're very high ceilings, and they're looking for different types of organisms to kill. So that may or may not be a good application for it. So we really focused on healthcare out of the gate because it's such a compelling, as you said, you know, return on investment.
And can this be done in all types of fixtures, just technology, or is it certain fixtures that you have to go in?
No, so we can put this in any of our light fixtures. In fact, you know, again, without being too commercial, it's something we've done in all of our existing light fixtures because we're a lighting manufacturer. You know, the challenge is really to get a good blended light to make the color quality still nice for folks, and then also to get enough dose to kill organisms. Those are the two things you're always trying to balance when you're making the light fixture here.
So is it a separate chipboard within the fixture or a driver, or what is the actual component that makes it different?
Sure. So we
give us all your trade secrets. Give us all your trade secrets.
We'll put them on the internet. Some of that I'll share you with the public side of it, right? Which is we have a separate mode with the 405 nanometer only. And then we have a white mode, which, you know, mixes the two together. And, you know, without getting into more details, we just know how to blend that light. We have an onboard microprocessor that does all that for us. And, you know, we know how to signal to the fixture and tell it to, you know, provide the right to, mode of operation.
So now if you have this a fixture with this technology and 10 years go by, is there a replaceable component to this? If or does something burn out using this technology, or is it always going to work as long as the fixture works?
Sure.
Does it degrade over time? Like, is there a lumen maintenance issue with it or something like that?
You nailed it, right? That's part of the lighting side, right? So there's an L70 to this, the blue chips, just like a regular chip. So what we do with the blue is we know what the L70 is, and we just backfill 30% at front, so that way it margins and ends up where you want it to. So that's part of, again, knowing how much dose it takes to kill a bacteria in a room.
I'm going to change gears here for a second because, you know, the technology you said it was first deployed in 2015?
Correct. Yeah, we launched it as a commercial product in 2015. Yep.
Is there any concern with, you know, I read a National Geographic, the famous National Geographic article from 4 or 5 years ago that we're actually superorganisms and we're made up of all these different microorganisms. And when that's in balance, it's great. You say there's no acute human health effects here. Are there any chronic human, you know, that over time someone who's in this or you know, under this light a lot is going to suffer from, you know, their microbiome on their skin being damaged or that sort of thing and causing them problems that way? Like, for example, it's like if your kid just took a course of antibiotics, you have to up the sunscreen level if they go to the beach because it'll kill the microbiome on their skin, which is actually their what protects them from the UV rays. Have you guys had any issues with that? Have you thought that, like, how have you thought that problem through?
Sure. Great question. We get a lot of these questions about, you know, safety related topics because certainly it's a newer technology. So just to kind of break down what you said there, because you brought raised some good points, the light itself is going to kill bacteria, but it works on a scale of hours. So of course you'd have to stand underneath it for hours to have any appreciable effect on the bacteria in your skin. But quite candidly, you're picking up bacteria on your skin just by touching surfaces and, you know, touching other people or touching your body or whatever it is you do. So you're going to replenish whatever skin bacteria you may have knocked off pretty quickly. And also, of course, you know, when you wash your hands, particularly in a healthcare environment, you're trying to remove all the bacteria, right? If you're a surgeon and you go in to work on somebody, you want to make sure there's no bacteria on your skin. And of course, patients are the same thing. In fact, they give them something called a chlorhexagglutinate, CHG skin prep, to try to remove bacteria from their skin before they go under surgery. So it's not that we've changed the underlying skin structure of a human being. It's just that we've killed some bacteria there, which tend to repopulate themselves. Now, when you think about, you know, what goes on inside a person, that's another story. Unfortunately, we're not affecting that. You know, the idea of good and bad bacteria associated with probiotics, that's going on inside your stomach. And so, of course, this is a, you know, outside the body.
So let's say we have an operating room with 10 light fixtures. Do all 10 need to have this technology, or can you do a couple that have it and the rest don't? How does that work?
No, good, very good question. Yeah, that's exactly how we designed the product, to make sure it's a one-to-one replacement, because the lighting business understands that one-to-one replacement. Also, it spreads the disinfection out across the room like peanut butter. So that way you're getting disinfection across the entire, right. So make sure you get the whole room. And then on top of that, the light itself, you don't want to have these color mismatches where the indigo color mixed into the white provides a slight DUV difference or color temperature change. You want to have that match all the other fixtures in the room. So that's why we intentionally worked through it and said, how much dose does it take to dose a room? How many fixtures are in the room? How much dose do I need per fixture? And what does that fixture then look like in each of its two modes?
Now, I assume I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Is there a retrofit option for this? Or is it only
we are developing retrofit options? You know, to be sure, for lighting, you need to have that. But really, the key mode is when you're in areas like the operating room, you really need this indigo only mode. And to retrofit that at this time, candidly, it's easier for them to just take the fixture out and put in another fixture. Now, for less critical areas, let's say a waiting room where you want some of the benefits, but you don't have the ability to go to this all indigo mode, we can give you something that will disinfect in the area, but not disinfect as strongly as this mode. Okay, it's better than nothing, right? At that point, it's a simple retrofit kit. we have that available today. It's a T8 replacement lamp kit that you can take out the tombstones, put in the tube and screw it into the fixture and wire it up, and you're good to go.
And do you guys have a percent increase in cost that you are able to state on this? Is it a 50% increase in that fixture to have this technology, or what is it?
Sure. So really kind of two flavors, you know, for a an operating room, we tell people it's about, you know, $20,000 to $25,000 to do an operating room. And then for, you know, a regular lighting product, it's a, you know, 20 to 25% increase over a light fixture. If you're looking to do kind of the other flavor of the product, which is, you know, more of a less critical application. So it, full dynamic range of products. You can have something that's a minimal increase over a light fixture all the way up to something that quite candidly is a rounding error in these operating rooms. When they're building a new operating room, particularly these hybrid operating rooms, where there's a $7 to $8 million budget, the cost of our lighting product is a rounding error.
Yeah, for sure.
And how do you guys propose this then? I know we've talked a little bit about, but when you actually present it to a hospital, do you give studies, percentages? I know.
Absolutely.
Like, give a summary.
That's the first thing they ask for. Yeah, this is interesting. So the lighting channel, you guys know that. I probably don't need to tell you much about that. All our listeners here understand what it's like to put stuff through the specification grade construction process, right? And there's certainly some battles going on to secure budget and funding for anything that's more than a white good these days, right? Because construction, particularly some of the P3s up in Canada, I know those are always, you know, very challenged in terms of cost. But, you know, here, that's why we call directly on the hospital. So this is a very unique position for a lighting manufacturer. We go into the hospital, we talk to the vice president of surgical services, we talk to the director of surgical services, we talk to the chief nursing officer, we talk to people whose responsibility is quality of care. And when they decide that this is something that they want to do, it just goes. And at that point, it's just programmed through the budget process, and it's really quite fun to be able to sell in those instances. But yeah, we start with the medical side, because really the lighting side, they'll look at the medical side and say, okay, this looks great, but should we do it? Does it really work? Because again, most people who are lighting people don't have this kind of esoteric knowledge about how to kill bacteria.
Sure.
So when we get in and talk to the hospital, that's the first thing we lead with. You know, it's easy when you're in a nascent field like this, a new technology, to come out and talk about all the great things you're going to do. We don't do that. We talk about the things we've done, which is we've installed the product at multiple places. We've shown bacterial reduction. We now have it where we're showing reductions in infections. And then, Canada, we have so many references now. We provide those to the hospital directly. And they talk to the, you know, medical staff directly, and they'll tell them what their experience with it is. And we get out of the way, and we let that speak for us.
Hmm. So this is not a payback story where you're coming in and saying, hey, you're going to save energy or anything. I don't care.
We get that all the time, right? Right. It's sort of like, hold it up. You run 10 years at 8 cents per kilowatt hour, right? And nobody ever has to touch the light, right? It's like you're fighting for pennies, right?
Well, yeah, you know, this is the first real, like, you know, people have talked a lot of tough talk on our show about 330, 300. This is the first one that's there. I mean, I believe your claims, obviously I do, I'm talking to you, and I think you're being honest with us, you know, to say that, you know, you can provide that level of service for that application. It doesn't matter how much energy the lights use after that. It's not even relevant.
Somebody asked me what the cost for the energy was. I said it's about $250 extra cost in energy for one operating room for a year.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You know, we spend that much in gauze.
Yeah, right, it's not even relevant.
Right. And that's the part that, you know, it's so much fun, because the lighting side, I appreciate the cost and all the things that go on the lighting side to, you know, squeeze costs. But candidly, we circumvent that aspect of it by the large. I mean, when you're trying to put it into an existing construction project with a budget, there's those constraints to be sure. When people see the value of it, and I can't tell you how rewarding it is to talk to somebody who's in charge of surgical services, and they look at me and they say, yeah, if these lights prevent a single infection, they pay for themselves. And I think, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, what a great statement. They get it, right? You know, they really get it, right? And that's awesome when you see that happening.
Most people don't understand how much it costs to do a surgical procedure. They have no idea how expensive it is.
No. Right. I mean, right. Well, in fact, I had somebody said, we can't afford this. I said, you're already paying for it. Paying for it with all the infections you're getting, right?
50% of Ontario's, I think it's 50% of the budget of Ontario is healthcare.
Oh,
so we have
wow.
Like, it's there's of every number. Dollar they take, 50 cents is healthcare.
Wow.
Like, it's
a big number.
It's monstrous, dude. Our healthcare system is obviously different than yours.
Sure.
We're not going to get into that here, but there's pros and cons to each system, whatever. Sure. Long story short, but it's like, I think it's 50 cents of every dollar is healthcare. Like, people don't understand, oh, healthcare in Canada is free. Well, what are you talking about? You know, yeah, if you pay taxes, if you pay $100,000 in taxes, 50,000 is healthcare, I think.
Like, well, it's crazy. Somewhere, right? Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, do you sell through distribution or direct?
Well, you know what? That's interesting. As a company, we do sell through distribution. Our parent company is Kennel Manufacturing. We're a lighting company, been in business for 53 years, make highly engineered products. So I come from a medical device background. The first time I saw us making a light, I said, well, it's just a light, right? Well, you have to see what goes into making these, gasketed sealed enclosures, right? There's a lot of good engineering that goes into that. But then the direct piece is our Indigo Clean brand. And we have sold direct in some instances where it makes sense. We call on hospitals directly for the evangelizing of it. But when it comes down to actually implementing a project, you'll get a architect's drawings, you'll get a spec or something. Candidly, that's better serviced by our existing infrastructure, which is what most people who would do this type of product don't have. So, you know, a medical device company wouldn't have the ability to install the lights or even design it into the room.
Cliff, this has been fascinating.
It really
fascinating technology. Yeah.
Yeah. Been a story of my life for 5 or 6 years now. Right. I've been sticking with it. And, you know, as a scientist, one of the greatest rewards you can have is seeing your life's work represented in the real world, saving people's lives. And that's what we're doing.
Cliff Yankee, the Cubs fan. Thanks.
Yes, that's right.
Thanks for coming on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast.
Hey, my pleasure. Let's stay in touch. Take care, guys.
Bye for now.
Thanks, Cliff.
Bye for now. Yep.
Keystone Technologies. Go to keystoneetech.com for light made easy, man. Go on, Greg. Tell them about the sample policy.
Well, it's the best one in the industry. They give you any sample that they have. And a lot of times you need that for a job, or not a lot of times, but there are times where you do need it. And Keystone is great at doing that. They give you what you ask for so that you can actually install it in the customer's application. They can physically see it and then in turn hopefully buy it from you.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, Keystone does the best out there to try to really help their distributors make close deals and get those deals, and their sample policy is one of them. Although we like to train our guys not to need samples. So if you're a badass in this industry, you don't need no darn samples, man. Son, you just close that deal. Go to KeystoneTech.com. That's KeystoneETech.com, baby. Light made easy. And the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, which Keystone is a member of, and Greg's a member of, and I'm a member of, and we'll all have a big party down there. So come down and join us if you want sometime for the convention. Take some educational training. Come on, man. LS1, LS2, LS controls. Get after it, man. Learn a little bit. Go to NAILD.org. And Cliff Yankee from Indigo Clean, thanks for coming on the show and telling us a lot about those light fixtures. That sounds real exciting and real cool. And thank you for coming on the show. Episode 40, Get a Grip on Lighting.
Written on the rectory wall, there's a sign there for all. You are lost.